Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103. This is a Psalm of David, and we'll be looking at various highlights as we go through this Psalm together. David begins this psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Every Shabbat, we say the Baruch, and we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord not because He is lacking in anything. Normally, I think of blessing as that there's a benefit that's involved. When God blesses us, we are helped, we are encouraged, we are given various aspects of His goodness to us. But when we bless the Lord, we do not add anything to Him because He is perfectly complete in and of Himself. He is the great I Am. There is no lack in Him. So when we bless the Lord, we give Him praise and thanks for His blessings. We acknowledge that He is the source of all blessing and that He is the blessed one. That, in a sense, blessing means that God is the happy God, that He is totally happy in and of Himself. He is the source of all blessing. And we give Him praise for all the blessing He gives to us. And as David was meditating and this song came to his heart, he wrote down that we should be blessing the Lord, and he was speaking even to his own soul. And sometimes it's appropriate for you and I to speak to our own souls, to say to ourselves, it is time for us to give praise to the Lord for all His goodness to us. And this is something that David says should be with our whole being. Even as we say we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, so here we see we should be blessing the Lord and praising Him with all that is within us. This should be the constant occupation of those of us who have found life in God through Yeshua. And we bless His holy name. This first phrase, it reminds me of Yeshua's prayer that He taught the disciples, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." That we bless the Lord for His holiness. We bless His name, and we want His name to be honored. We want His name to be honored across the earth, in our lives, where we work, where we live. We want His name to be held in high honor. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. One of the challenges that we have as humans is that we tend to forget what we should remember, and we tend to remember what we should forget. One of the scriptures that Joel took us to this morning, in Philippians chapter 3, just to remind us, verse 13 talks about there is a time to forget. Verse 13 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." There are some things to be forgotten. We can forget. I think God wants us to forget perhaps our past successes. And God wants us to forget our past failures. He doesn't want the past to be a bondage to us. But there are also some things that we should be remembering. And the psalmist David says that those things are the Lord's benefits to us. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we are warned again in of the importance of remembering and not forgetting. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 and following. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you, to do you good in the end, that you say in your heart, My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It is a strange thing that sometimes the blessing of God in our lives, all the benefits, can be the very occasion for us to forget, because we become comfortable in all the good things that God has given us. But as we reflect on the benefits that God has given us, may we pray that He will help us remember where they all came from, and that we would give Him the praise for these benefits. David then begins to highlight some of these benefits. In verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. I think that perhaps there is nothing more wonderful than the assurance that we are forgiven of all of our sins. Through Yeshua, we have this complete and thorough forgiveness. Shaul wrote about this in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. It says that in Him, that is, in Messiah Yeshua, in Him we have redemption. Redemption pictures for us that we have been set free from slavery, from bondage to sin and the things that we do wrong. We have been set free from the death penalty for the crimes that we have committed against God. That we have redemption. And this redemption comes at a precious and high price. It is through His blood, through His very life given for us. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, it says that He did not need to daily, as those high priests, offer up sacrifices, first for His own sins and then for the sins of His people. For this offering He did once for all when He offered up Himself. Yeshua's offering of His own blood was a once-for-all offering. Because Yeshua is fully God and fully man, He lived in a perfect love relationship with the Father every moment of every day of His life. In every thought, in every attitude, in every action, in every choice, Yeshua chose love to the Father and obedience to His will out of that love. And therefore, His perfect and holy life He could offer in the place of us who had sinned against the Father. And His sacrifice was complete and total. There's nothing that could be added to it. It is complete and thorough. And because it is complete and thorough, our sins have been completely and thoroughly dealt with. Now, this is a wonderful thing that I pray that God soaks into the very depth of our heart and our mind. One of the pictures of that comes after this dealing with our sin through His blood, that we have the forgiveness of our sins. Our sins are forgiven. The penalty is removed. In Leviticus chapter 16, it speaks of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And verse 10 talks about one aspect of this day, that there were two goats that were selected, and one by lot for the Lord, and one by lot became the scapegoat. And Leviticus chapter 16, verse 10 says, "But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness." And then in verse 20, "And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness." It is a picture of what God does with our sin when He forgives us. He sends it away. He removes it from us. This is further elaborated on and further down in Psalm 103. In verse 12, David writes this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." An incredible picture of the infinite forgiveness that is given to us. He did not say from the north to the south, because if you go far enough north, you begin going south. But if you go east and keep going east, you'll keep going east forever. Or if you go west and you keep going west, you'll go west forever. A graphic and beautiful picture of the distance of our sin removed from us by the forgiveness of God. Another picture of this grand forgiveness is in Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. It reads, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." I've heard of a Christian. You've heard of Corrie Ten Boom. I heard her make a statement about that, that God casts all our sins into the depths of the sea, and then He puts a sign up that says, "No fishing." That is a beautiful picture of what God wants to do with our sin, what He has done with our sin when we have trusted Yeshua as our sin bearer and our Messiah. Another beautiful aspect of this incredible forgiveness for us is that God did not compromise His character in the very least. God has loved His creation, His fallen and wayward creation, you and I. But love is not enough. There must be also justice and holiness. And God took this perhaps dilemma, and the way He resolved it was that He placed all of our sin on the Messiah so that He could be both completely just and also the justifier, the one who could declare us completely righteous with the righteousness of Messiah that we would receive by faith. It is an incredible, beautiful picture of our great God that He would pay for our sin by His love and retain His full integrity and character, and yet still be able to show us that love and draw us into relationship with Himself. You see, God's concern is to make our sin a non-issue. He wants to remove it and take it away so that there is no barrier between us and a relationship with Him. That is His goal. God does not delight in sin. God does not delight in guilt. What God delights in is the removal of sin and the removal of guilt and the restoring of a relationship that lasts forever. Some in our day would like to get rid of sin and not talk about it, or talk about all guilt as if it is false. But I believe God says that guilt is like a warning light on a dashboard of our vehicle, or guilt is like a pain that we have when we've stepped on a nail, that it is God's good gift to warn us that something is wrong and needs attention. Now, sometimes on our vehicle there may be a faulty light on the dash that never goes out, and that is something God wants to deal with, because that kind of light comes, I think, from the accuser, the evil one, who is called the accuser, who will often dredge up sins that we have committed that have been confessed and forsaken and forgiven. God's forgiveness and grace takes away the power of forgiven sin and helps us to live in the freedom from guilt and bondage to that sin. Sometimes I've had sins come up in my mind and I feel guilty all over again. And I am helped by remembering what Saul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 9, this is what Saul says. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." What Saul's saying there is that he remembers what he did to the church. He remembers the murder and the persecution. But the power of that sin has been taken away by the grace of God. And he knows and remembers that he is in fellowship with God because of that grace, because of what God has accomplished in Yeshua, our Messiah. Therefore, he works, but he doesn't work in his own strength. He works by the power of the grace of God at work in him. And I think that helps us in two ways. One, when forgiven sin comes back into our mind, we can say, "Yes, that was true of me, but that is forgiven and covered by the grace of God." And then after sin is gone and I feel, perhaps still maybe feel the weight of it, and I think, maybe I need to do something more to get rid of this sin. Maybe I need to do something to cover up or to make up for this. We come back to the grace of God again. The grace of God says there is nothing more that you and I could do. Messiah has done it all. Therefore, we are free to work in the freedom of the grace of God working in us. He breaks the power of canceled sin, as one of the hymns says, and sets the captives free, sets us free to serve Him in joy and in peace. What a great benefit this is for us to remember. David continues that he heals all your diseases. And we've heard testimony today of God's healing power, how often He heals our physical being. But I want us to focus on the fact that when God forgives us of our sins, He puts in process a healing of our souls that will be completed when Yeshua comes. That He not only forgives, but He cleanses. One of the verses that we like to quote related to sin is 1 John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." And then what does it say? "And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So God doesn't just forgive the sin and leave it dangling, but God begins to work a process of pulling the sin out by the roots, by helping us to be healed in the very core of our being. He is at work to make us whole. Shaul talked about this in the letter to the Romans, again, chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." When God dreamed of a relationship with us and put things in motion for that relationship to come into being, He had in mind that you and I would be conformed to the image of Yeshua. We somehow do not lose our personality. We actually become more completely and thoroughly who God had in mind when He created us. But we begin to bear the stamp of Yeshua, the Messiah. We begin to look like His character. We begin to display His love. We begin to display His peace and His joy. And we begin to display His patience, His long-suffering, and His kindness. That is a process that God is about in our lives, cleansing us from every disease, healing our every disease. And in verse 30 of Romans chapter 8, it says this process continues. "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He called. Whom He called, these He justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified." Glorification is a certainty here. It is not a question mark. When we have entered with Yeshua the Messiah, it is a certainty that God will complete what He has begun in us. The healing will be complete and total. Now, God does this like a father. Later in Psalm 103, in verse 13, He says, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that our days are like grass, and as a flower of the field, so we flourish. And the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." He knows how weak we are and how frail we are. And Isaiah spoke of Messiah as the one who was so gentle that He would not break a bruised reed, and He would not quench a smoldering piece of flax. So our Savior, our Messiah, as He heals all our diseases, He will do it with gentleness and with firmness like the best of fathers. He will do it step by step. At one point, Yeshua said in His ministry, He says, "I have much more to say to you, but you cannot bear it now." Yeshua knows what we can bear and what we can handle. And so in this process of healing all of our diseases, He is gentle and He takes us step by step. Sometimes He takes us further than we think we can handle or we want to go. But He is wise and good in His healing process. And as Shaul experienced in his life, at one point he had a thorn in the flesh, and he doesn't tell us what that was, and there is various speculation about what that was. He prayed to the Father for three times that the Father would remove it. And the Father said, I won't remove it because my grace is sufficient for you, and I am using this to keep you humble because of the vast revelations of myself that I have given you. Sometimes in the wisdom of God, His healing of our soul means that He may leave an affliction in our body. He is doing it, though, for our ultimate good. And one day, our body will experience the same total, thorough, complete healing that our soul has experienced. What God has begun, He will complete, the healing of all our diseases. Then in Psalm 103, verse 4, He says, who redeems your life from destruction. And this is a suggestion of the resurrection. This is a hint, a picture of the ultimate victory over death that we have through the Messiah. In Psalm 16, we read that David had already been given insight by God that Messiah's body would not see decay. And through our relationship with Messiah, we partake of that same promise and that same hope. Psalm 16, verses 10 and 11. Begin with verse 9. Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Shaul speaks also of this total redemption that includes our bodies. Again, in Romans 8, he talks about the fact that we groan waiting for the redemption of our bodies. In Romans 8, verse 22 and 23, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies, the resurrection of our bodies. Shaul says in another place that this will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when Messiah comes and our bodies will be transformed. And in another place, he says that the dead in Messiah will rise first, and then we who are alive will join them to meet Messiah in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Death has not yet been totally removed, but Messiah promises that it will be. And he says, who redeems your life from destruction. Death will be destroyed. Death will be swallowed up. Death will be undone and totally removed. Certainly that is cause for us to bless the Lord with our whole soul. And then in verse 4, the second half, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. God is rich in love toward us. Shaul and in other places in the book of Ephesians, the last half of that verse that we looked at earlier, Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says that He has given us redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. God doesn't just barely provide for us, but God provides for us super abundantly because He is wealthy. The scripture talks about how God is wealthy in grace, He is wealthy in forbearance. He is wealthy in kindness. He is wealthy in mercy. He is wealthy in long-suffering. God is wealthy, and He has poured His wealth out on us. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And in verse 5, it says that He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You remember Yeshua's conversation with the woman at the well. The woman came with her water jar, and Yeshua met her and asked her for a drink. And she said, "You don't have anything to draw with." And Yeshua said, "If you were to ask me for a drink, I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again." That is one of the marvels of finding God and coming into a relationship with Him, is that He satisfies us so that we can drink and drink and drink from His well and be satisfied over and over and over again. The well of salvation is open for us through Yeshua, and He wants us to experience the abundance that He has. Yeshua said in another place that he who believes in me will never hunger, and he who trusts in me will never thirst. Isn't that a mystery, that you and I can be satisfied and yet drink and drink and drink? Yeshua said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." We find in Yeshua all that we need, and we come to Him and find our ultimate soul satisfaction and our ultimate fulfillment in Him. That is found in no place else. Only God is big enough to fill our souls. And we will have all of eternity to discover all the beauty and the dimension of God, who is infinite. Is that not a glorious pursuit? Does that not stir in us to bless the Lord, O our soul? Another psalm, David speaks of the abundance of the house of God. What a delight it is to come to the house of God, to come to where God is, and to taste and experience and enjoy His abundance, to be satisfied in Him, so that He renews us, that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I've told people before that I still feel like I'm 21, and it's increasingly obvious that I'm not. And I've asked others, "How old do you feel?" And they have told me that they feel young in the Lord. And that is a marvel, that God renews us. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly God renews us day by day. So it's almost like we are getting younger and younger in the Lord. He renews us by the knowledge of Him. He renews us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He renews us by the transforming of our minds, the renewing of our minds with His truth, with meditation upon Him. And He renews us as we wait for Him and exchange our strength, which is not adequate, for His strength, which is always adequate. Bless the Lord, O our souls. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O our souls, and forget not all His benefits. May God help us to review these benefits and meditate on His goodness and His character and His glory day and night, and experience these benefits so that those around us will be attracted to a relationship with Him through what they see of Him in our lives. Would you please join me in prayer?